Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. I swear, my brothers, we are locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun. So call me Pharaoh now.
Rabbit
that's just some food for thought. So take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green. Money
Damn.
Over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
African.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again. Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask a man. Just get up on your knees and talk to God. Don't worry about your sin. I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him. This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? You just blast it down. I'm tired of all my people. See, that's niggas with no action plan. And I didn't choose to rap. He just fell into a backup plan. So let it go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
I rise with the sun.
Even if you ain't the same, and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein. It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain. Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man. If you don't really feel it, turn it off and toss it in the drain. Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain. Michael Brown, he left me with a frown, but he should've known better, man. When they looking for a reason to put a bullet in his letter, man. And don't you get the clue that all these people scared of our love? Rolexes and Rovers, and you can't hold us down. We hold the crown for majors before us. And though you play with money, we still know that you below us. Now look what you done did. I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up. Cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures. If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim. So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms. Money, military.
All right. Welcome. This is Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Tuesday, November the 29th. Tuesday, November the 29th of 2016. And the time is 12:15 Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding soul study for you today, and as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I mean, your time is valuable. I respect you, and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. Today, my brothers and sisters, we have one of these topics that, like a lot of these shows I do, really doesn't seem like it's a big issue or a big deal. It's just one of those, you know, show fillers. But today's show is just important as any other show. Because today we're looking at starting. One of the hardest things in life to do is to actually start. And in addition to starting, we're also talking about something else. We want to talk about not only starting, but the ability to start where you are by thinking about where you're going. So many people, many of us, you know, don't have that, well, I shouldn't say don't have, but many of us, you know, have a problem like overstanding that. Let me put it that way. And that requirement is simply the ability to start where you are, to bloom where you planted. Now, this ability to bloom where you planted, meaning that you have to start small. And so starting small is simply the ability to start, because you have to override the things that prohibit people from starting. There are many things that happen in life, and when we look at starting small is very difficult when you're thinking big. Many of us have, you know, we have these grandiose ideals and these thoughts of, you know, just the desires that we have to do purpose, to do something, to make our mark, if you will. But it's very difficult when you are thinking big. So what we're talking about today, if you look at it on the surface, it doesn't seem like it's that important. But if you really, really, if you've engaged in or if you've done anything in life, you realize that it's very difficult to start small while thinking big. But in order to be successful in life, that is exactly what you have to do. Because you have to be able to start right where you are while thinking about where you're going. So the ability to think big but act small is today's topic. How do you think big but act small? Thinking big and acting small is actually something that is difficult to do. Because when you think big, you want to do big. But you have to be able to start small and still be able to think big. And the reason why this is so difficult, because what happens to you when you think big? And what happens when you start small? See, when I say start small, what do I really mean by start small? See, the ability to take small steps, one single action, while blocking out all of the zeal and the desire to run. Have you ever ran a choir, you to pace yourself? I remember, you know, running in track, you know, running the open quarter, the open mile, and then also I used to run 330s, the hurdle event. And so it requires you can't just, it's not a sprint. It does require a little bit of the ability to run like three quarter, maybe half speed, and then kind of pick it up. There is some strategy. There is some tactics that is required in order for you to think big but act small. Now, acting small while thinking big requires specific strategies or stratagems. And the way that you are able to do this, my brothers and sisters, is that to realize that the initial success is all about having a positive and a confident approach and maintaining this attitude in the face of or no success. The problem is most people, myself included, we quit because of it's difficult to maintain this attitude of success while in an environment of failure. So how do you maintain an attitude of success while in an environment of failure? Now, I say failure not because you failed, failure because you just started. So when you just start off, you know, when you just start a diet, you ain't lost the pound. So how do you continue to maintain the diet when you haven't lost any weight? And so this ability, my brothers and sisters, again, now I need you to kind of think outside of the box for me. So how do you maintain your positive attitude? Now, when we have a positive attitude, you know, what we do is we're focusing on something. So how do we keep our minds and our, you know, focus on where we're going? How do you develop this ability to think big? How do you maintain this positive attitude or this ability to think big in the face or while you are living small?
How do you maintain a positive attitude while you are facing constant rejection? See, without this ability to handle the absence of success, you cannot handle success. The ability to handle adversity gives you the ability to handle success. Without this ability to handle rejection, without the ability to handle, you know, a negative environment, without the ability to ignore, you see, my brothers and sisters, there's something that's really, really important. There is a certain traits or characteristics that you or that people have in order to allow you to cope with stress, anxiety, and overcoming adversity. See, if you haven't had much rejection, it's going to be very difficult for you to maintain success. See, because as you have more success and you gain experience, you have this ability to understand that this rejection or that this negativity or that this weight or that this adversity is just temporary. But in the given, but in the very, very beginning, my brothers and sisters, it requires you to have this immunity to the sting or this immunity to the absence or this this ability to ignore reality. One of the greatest gifts that I've learned over the years is the ability to totally block out negativity. A lot of people have a very, very difficult time thinking big while acting small because they don't have the ability to reject or to ignore adversity. So how do you, I want you to think about how do you do it. So, like, how do you ignore adversity? Or how do you ignore someone who is bothering you? Like, how do you ignore pain? Like, today, like, I've been having this pain. It started off in my lower back, and then I had pain, like a real severe pain. And, you know, how do you ignore pain? Or how do you ignore adversity? See, you have to have the ability to overcome and ignore ignorance, adversity, rejection, whatever it is that you are trying to move in the direction of. Because if you cannot overcome and if you cannot cope with, if you cannot deal with adversity, it's going to be very difficult for you to grow. See, in the face of failure, truth is revealed. Have you ever felt like life was unfair? Have you ever felt like, you know, problems just always seem to, like come your way, so to speak? Have you ever started to, like, spiral downward? Or you ever start to live in or ever have a particular way that life goes? And so when bad things start happening to you, how do you respond? See, if there is no struggle, there is no progress. If you don't really understand that, you know, adversity is synonymous with success, without being taught, you're going to try to avoid difficulty at all costs. And many people try to avoid difficulty that limits their ability to start small. Because in the event of adversity, you have to be able to do something called feel the fear, the pain, and do it anyway. This ability, my brothers and sisters, to understand that there is a problem. See, the moment that you accept whatever problems or whatever troubles that you've been given, that is the moment that you override those problems. You see, the difficulties of life and the difficulties of starting becomes less and less difficult when you're thinking big. Because, see, when you think big, it's going to motivate you while you're acting small. See, a lot of people don't really understand because, see, thinking big is dangerous because it also, if you think big, it's going to create more problems because you're going to, because of your zeal and your desire to move in the direction of the thing that you're thinking big about. So if I'm honest with myself, I have to really examine that a lot of times I may not know what's positive or what's negative in the moving or in the taking of the steps. What do I mean by that? Sometimes you do an action, but you don't get any immediate results. Sometimes you can go to the gym and you exercise. You can exercise for a whole week and you won't lose a pound. And then the next week, the sixth day, the seventh day, the eighth day, you lose 5 pounds. So how do you maintain? How do you take those small steps? So my brothers and my sisters, let me make sure you understand that you have to be married to your role. The reason why you can't start small while thinking big is because those small things are big things. But those small things, the Bible says it this way, for us to not to grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. And so the difference between people that are successful and people that are not successful, they've learned that. They've learned that there is magic, the magic of thinking big but starting small. And what they've learned is the same thing that I've learned. I've learned that regardless of the return on my investment, I am continuing to moving in the direction of my investment because I'm not married to my investment. I am married to the role of the investment. I'm not married to the limelight. I'm not married to the stage. I'm not married to the end result. I'm not married to the goal line, for example. I'm not married to, I'm in business, and my goal is to make $10,000 a month. I'm not married to my goal of making $10,000 a month. I'm married to the process of business. I'm married to doing shows. I'm married to doing one-on-ones. I'm married to being authentic. I'm married to automating my business. I'm married to making sure that I am the best life coach I can be. I'm married to creating new products. I'm married to writing books. I'm married to staying up late and doing research. I'm married to being online, reading and studying and researching. I'm married to thinking outside of the box. I'm married. I'm in love with the ability to do what everybody else is not doing. I am in love with being the bad guy. I'm in love with when everybody else is going right. I love going left. I love going off road and making my own trail instead of following the trail of everybody else. I am married. I live for that. I don't live for making $10,000 a month. That is the byproduct. That's not the goal. See, no matter how ambiguous or how big your plan is, you have a role. You have a particular way of acting. Inside the book that I just written, something really blew my mind. And in this book, again, short read, is called The Science of Willpower. And while writing this book, I stumbled upon something that I knew, but it was I needed a refresher. So in this book, The Science of Willpower, I was going through when I was thinking about the people that have overcome severe adversity. And because of athletics, you know, I always think about, like, athletes who's overcome, you know, great adversities, and how did they do it? They did it by in chapter 4, I talk about the right attitude or will. And the thing that blew me away, again, is that if you do not have this, it's impossible to be successful. In chapter 1 of this book I start off talking about how my religious background was a great help. It also was a great disadvantage. Because of my religious background, I disrespected science. I didn't give science its value, its worth, because all of my emphasis was on faith. Because I was raised in a home. I was raised in an environment where faith was key. And science and research and everything that I'm doing now wasn't a requirement. The only requirement was go to church and pray. Everything else was a waste of time. So I didn't understand the value of research. I didn't understand the value of science until I started studying it, and I talk about this person that when I first got exposed to Christian Science way back in the day. And they talked about the laws of science and spirituality that actually can heal the body. And they presented this thing, this whole understanding of how the placebo works. And they talked about how they do blind studies, and they get 10 people, and they give 5 people the medication, and they give 5 people, you know, placebo. They give them a sugar pill, or they give them a water pill. They give something to them, and the 5 people that's given placebo in most blind studies, they get better results usually than the people who actually take the real drug. And science is dumbfounded about the placebo effect. I'm sure you've heard of the placebo effect. And the placebo effect is interesting because what it does is it shows or it gives proof to how there is magic in thinking big. But you see, there is a technique, especially if you're in small business, that you have to learn the ability to think big while taking small steps. See, the key to achieving any resolution is to take small steps. So setting a goal is great, but fulfilling the role is greater. See, setting a goal is smart, but finding a way to implement that goal is smarter. See, the more manageable and the less overwhelming goal or the role is, the rates of success increase. Let me say that again. The more manageable and the less overwhelming the small goal is, the greater the results or the chance of success. So right now, the reason that you're not successful is that the goals that you're making are not manageable. And if you make goals that your subconscious brain knows is not manageable, your subconscious brain knows it is not manageable to do. If I say lose 30 pounds in 30 days, maybe your goal should be to lose 15 pounds in 30 days, because your subconscious may think that losing 30 pounds in 30 days is not achievable. It's not manageable. It's not realistic. And so when I set a goal to make $10,000 a month, that's not manageable. That's not achievable. So you got to set a goal. Now, my first goal when I started off was to make $100 a month. Why? It's manageable and achievable. It is less overwhelming. So the less overwhelming your goal, the more successful you will be in fulfilling your role. The only reason that you can't take that small step, because that's not a small step. You can't start small. Your brain thinks whatever you're trying to do is not small. Your brain thinks that, man, getting up every day at 6 a.m. is overwhelming, and so it can't. It is fighting you. So maybe you should get up at 6:30. Maybe you should get up at 7. Maybe you should get up at 8. You have to find a way to make your life manageable in the midst of adversity. So if you get a life sentence, hopefully this never happens to nobody. If you get a life sentence, how are you going to manage your time? See, when I worked in the Supermax prison, one of the things that blew my mind was the inmates, how they manage time. And you could learn a lot. The average Joe outside of prison can learn a lot from how people manage time in prison. Now, have you ever asked yourself that question? And so let me ask you your question. How are you managing your time right now? If you are in prison, so how do prison inmates manage their time? So if you got a life sentence, that means you're gonna be in there for life. How do you manage? I know it's tough to like put yourself in that environment, but when we talk about behavioral management, evidence points to how you can manage behavior. And the way, my brothers and sisters, that you manage, or that the way that you deal with being in prison. Now, right now, you're in prison. It's a prism. Your spirit knows it, but your body doesn't. So right now, you're walking around in prison, and it's a PRISM. You're in a carbon box. Your spirit is used to being free. And so your spirit now is having a problem managing time. Your blood cells, again, the doors of your blood cells are not oscillating and vibrating because it's used to being in a different environment. So how do you survive, my brothers and sisters, in a hard, harsh environment that your body is not used to being into, or your spirit is not used to being in that? It's no difference that, number one, when you're in prison, the first thing that happens to you is the same thing that happened to me when I walked there. When I walked in, you know what the first thing that happened? Fear. Brothers and sisters, you have to manage your fear. To take small steps while thinking about big goals, you have to manage your fear. Because the first thing that's going to happen, my brothers, now really, really think about what I'm saying. Because why are you afraid? See, your spirit knows something that your body, that your reason and logic, that your brain doesn't. See, right now you are living closed quarters. Right now you are living in an environment. Just like in prison, where do you think they got the idea of putting people in prison? Because the powers that be that develop the prison system are the powers that be that develop the prison system. Let me make sure you understand what I'm saying, my brothers and sisters, because, see, the prism system is a prison system. So right now you are in a PRISM. So the prism system is what you are in. Your body knows it. Your spirit, I should say, knows it. So this prism system, again, is, how can I put this? It is a way to trap light beings. So a prism is a geometric shape, and it is parallel and it's rectangle, I guess. The best way to explain it is if you go to Google or you search it and type in the word prism, and look how the prism looks like a triangle. And when light goes in one way, it comes out another way. And so when you shine white light through a glass prism, you produce red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. So it fractures, it divides, it departmentalizes you. And so when you go to a prison, a real prison, the same thing happens to you. You get departmentalized. You get fractured. You get divided. And so the ability to understand that you're one, you used to be one. And so out of one color, we get seven colors. And so when you go into a prison, spirit is divided into like seven layers. It's interesting because when we look at the chakra systems, each chakra system is actually you. It used to be one chakra system, but on this dimension it's divided. And if you don't understand that, you can't take a small step. Why? Because you have a strong feeling that something is off. You don't know what, but you have so you have to trust your instinct. Your spirit knows you're on this earth, something's off. You don't know what's off, but something's off. Number two, the second thing is you got to respect other people. Why? Because everybody's in the same predicament. In the series Westworld on HBO, it's very interesting because they break this down. See, the reason, and it's difficult to take a small step while thinking big, because the reason that you think big, the reason that you have this grandiose idea is because you are grandiose. You don't realize that you're inside of a prison. Now, your spirit knows this, but your body doesn't. So when you want to take one step, you can't maintain that one step because, number one, you're not getting the results. Because you say, man, I should be here, but I'm not. So you discount where you are. And so there are many different ways, many different, you know, techniques of maintaining this ability to think big while taking small steps. But what you have to understand, my brothers and sisters, is thinking big but acting small is difficult, because when you think big, you want to act big. See, nobody wants to be president of the United States and they can't even run their own house. So to be the president of the United States, maybe you should start by being the president of your own home or your own company or running your own business. So you have to be able to do, again, you have to be able to not grow weary in well-doing. See, if you have the ability to do, if you're faithful in little, then God can trust you with much. Thinking big is the same thing that the scripture says. When the Bible says, do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap. That means that when we're doing small things and you're taking a small step, you got to. Your goal is to make $10,000 a month in business, and right now you're making $100 a month. So you want to quit because it's not working. But you got to continue to press. Because, again, if you are faithful in little things, if you are faithful in little, what is that? I think it's in the book of Luke. Then that the way that you run small things is the same way that you're going to run large things. And so you have to be the manager of small things. So if the Father, the universe, can't trust you with very little, how are they going to trust you with very much? So if you are dishonest with very little things, you're going to be dishonest with big things. So if you're not faithful in little things, how are you going to be faithful in the large things? If you run a small company dishonestly, if you run your home dishonestly, if you are dishonest in relationships, if you're dishonest when it comes to keeping your goal, if you tell yourself that, okay, today I'm going to work out at 3, and 3 o'clock rolls around, you say, if you are not honest, if you can't be committed to yourself, how in the world are you going to be committed when you got 100 people working for you? If you are not successful in small things, how in the world are you going to be successful in big things? So the universe knows that you're not equipped. The universe knows that you're not prepared. The universe knows that you don't have the ability. So the universe doesn't provide you, and it doesn't grant you your request. So you have to respect yourself. Number one, remember, how do you think big while acting small? Number one, you got to realize, my brothers and sisters, that you have to manage your fear. Number two, you have to respect yourself and others. Number three, you got to avoid the fruit of the spirit or the fruit of the flesh, like a plague. You got to avoid it. You have to avoid negative thinking. You have to avoid this feeling that what you're doing is not working. You got to avoid it at all costs because it's part of the problem. Number four, you have to make sure, my brothers and sisters, that you maintain clarity. You have to be able to maintain crystal clear clarity. And number five, this one is very important. you have to put yourself in solitary confinement. Now, solitary confinement is meaning solitary mindment, mentalment. That means that you think for yourself. That means that you keep challenging your thinking and your logic. That means that you ask questions. That means that you ask, that you seek, that you not. That means that you maintain your mental state. That means that you don't fall mentally ill. You have to be able to maintain your state of mind. In order to act small while thinking big, because if you think big, if you really, really, really embrace who you are, you're going to look at where you're at and you're going to wonder, why am I here? You're going to get very angry. You're going to get very frustrated because you know something inside of you says you are a royal priest. Something inside of you says that you are the offspring of God. Something inside of you says that greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Something inside of you said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging bread. Something inside of you says that my father owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Something inside of you says that if God be for me, who in their right mind would be against me? Something inside of you says that I have the ability to tread upon snakes and scorpions and all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by no means harm me. Something inside of you says that when I walk through the valley of shadow and death, I will fear no evil, for God art with me. Something inside of you says that my Father promised me that he would never leave me nor forsake me. Something inside of you is telling you all of this. At the same time, the opposite is happening. You feel alone. You feel like the snakes and scorpions are whooping your beep. You feel like that you are not a royal priest. In fact, you probably feel like you're the devil's boy. Right now, you feel like the whole world is against you. Right now, you feel like you have been forsaken. Right now, you feel like what you are doing is not adding up. Right now, you feel like that the whole world, that God himself has turned his back on you. Right now, you feel like that nothing that you're doing is working. Right now, you feel like throwing in the towel. Right now, you feel like giving up. Right now, that you feel like that no matter what you do, it doesn't work. No matter all of the stuff that you know, you try, you've been taking these small steps, and these small steps are not moving you in the direction of your goal. Life is not worth living. And the reason that you feel like that. Now, think about this for a moment. What kind of attitude must an inmate have in prison when they know they have a life term and they are never, ever, ever, ever getting out of prison? You think your life is tough. Now, I want you to try to put yourself now, really, what and how do you manage? And let me add in the smoking gun. When you know that you're innocent, what if you've been wrongly convicted? You hear about these stories. I remember reading a story of a dude that was in prison for 40 years. He knew he was innocent. He was wrongly convicted. And then DNA evidence, I think he was in Dallas, and they showed him. It was on Facebook and YouTube, and he was on the news. They gave him like $1 million, you know, for all of his time. Spent 40 years, the best years of his life in prison. So what did he do while he was in prison when he knew he was innocent? How does he manage his time? What does he think? You know how many times he gave up? Brothers and sisters, starting a goal, but being attached to the role, is how you manage less. The more manageable and the less overwhelming your daily activity is, the more chances that you increase, or the ability that you increase your chance of success. Start with where you are. Start with where you are. But always think about where you want to be. You will be shocked the results that you get in your life. Let me say the secret again. You want to be a multimillionaire, but you got a lemonade stand. Are you collecting aluminum cans? Every day that you go out collecting those aluminum cans, what are you thinking about? Now think about this, brothers and sisters. Brother Dana posted a good post in the chat room, and he said that if he was a prisoner, he would get used to it. Or he would imagine himself getting out of prison. You see, my brothers and sisters, the key to life is never accepting your position. The guy, and when I worked in the Supermax prison, and when the inmates that I talked to, the ones that got out, they maintained this mentality. My greatest education, out of all, you know, I got, 130, 140 college hours. Man, I got all of these, you know, continuing education hours. I've read all of these books. My greatest education was working in prison. I learned more working in prison than I ever learned anywhere else in my life. The key, my brothers and sisters, is this. While you are collecting aluminum cans on the side of the road and you walk into the recycle bin to drop off them and get your $5. See, I remember when I was a kid picking pecans with my mom, when I was picking pecans, I was thinking in my brain about running a business. See, it doesn't matter what you're doing. What matters is what you're thinking. See, you want to do small things while thinking big thoughts. How do you manage? How do you do time? How does the inmate in prison manage his time? How does he keep achieving his resolution when he knows he's innocent? He knows he's innocent, so he knows he's getting out. He never accepts his imprisonment. Now, does that mean that you go around and you create? No. What do you do? Know what he did? The guy that I'm referring to, classes to other inmates. While in prison. So what are you doing while you're in prison? Until you get out of prison. So while you are in prison, you need to act like you are out of prison. While you are incarcerated, your mind must be free. And you must do things while incarcerated that unincarcerated people do. So every day he went to a job. Because when you're incarcerated, you can't go to a job. But he found a way to, he volunteered, and he did classes while in prison. Outside, they do stuff. But most of them in prison, they don't do nothing. They go to the rec ward, they sit around, and they think about stabbing. They think about corruption. They think about getting high. They think about doing negative things. But you know what he thought about while he was in prison? All he thought about was the day that he was getting out. And he had no guarantee that he was ever getting out. But he never gave up. He took small steps. He maintained his mental disposition. So your physicality does not determine your mentality. Your mentality or your spirituality determines your physicality. Your physicality does not determine your spirituality. So remember, don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap. If you faint not, that's what the scripture said. Brothers and sisters, Luke chapter 16, verse 9. Luke chapter 16, verse 9 says this. I tell you this. Use worldly wealth to make friends for yourselves so that when it is gone, they will welcome you into external dwellings. Verse 10, Luke 16:10. Whoever is faithful with very little will also be faithful with very much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with very much. Verse 11. If then you have not been faithful with worldly wealth, who will entrust you with true wealth? you are, while you are nobody, you have to act like you are somebody, because you are a somebody. The greatest trick that the enemy pulled on you is to make you think that you're not successful now. The greatest lie that the enemy told me that I brought and I carried around for a good 20 or 30 years was to think that I wasn't successful. The greatest lie that has been perpetuated is to think that while in prison, I'm actually in prison. The greatest lie that was ever perpetuated onto mankind is to think that while we're in this body, we're in this body. Have you ever heard of this thing called astral projection? See, right now, I can close my eyes, and I can remember when I was in the military, when I was stationed in Hawaii, and I would go down to Waikiki Beach, down there on the Big Island, and I can remember walking around on the beach, and I remember the sand, I remember how crowded it was, because it's the main tourist attraction, and I can remember, and it's almost like being right. See, the mind is a dangerous thing, because the mind can make a hell out of heaven and a heaven out of hell. The mind. So the way, my brothers and sisters, that you become big is that to realize that you already are big. The way that you become successful, the way that you lose weight, the way that you have a good relationship, the way that you maintain your health, the way that you accomplish anything in life is to realize that you are already what you're trying to be. And you start to act as if. Because, see, the enemy wants you to think that you're not successful, because you're comparing yourself to the wrong things and to the wrong people. So if you are in prison, you have to realize that you are not in prison. You have to realize that you have freedom. Now, your freedom may be limited to that location. Your freedom may be limited to that cell. Your freedom may be encumbered upon, but you still have freedom. You have freedom within, no matter how small, I still have freedom. You can limit it, but I still have it. You still got freedom. You still are successful. Right now, you're rich. You may not be as rich as, you know, Bill Gates or Oprah Winfrey, but you are rich. But guess what? Go over to Thailand. Go over to, you know, some parts of the Caribbean. Go over to some places in Africa where they still have. Go over to some, you know, rainforest out in Brazil, where there are some indigenous people, and then compare yourself who don't. They don't have running water. They don't have electricity. They don't have the technology that we have. They're happy as a lark. They have no idea that they are quote unquote poor, because they're not poor. Neither are you. The way that you start small, but think big, is to realize that small and big are relative terms. What is small? What is big? So you telling me that what I'm doing is small compared to what? Thinking big and acting small are the same thing. Because when you are small, small is determined by who? And when you think big, big is determined by who? So there is no such thing, really, as to think big and act small. There's only thinking and acting. It's not big or small. Your job is to realize that the process starts with the ability to take action, taking steps towards the thinking is the key. Whatever you are thinking, take steps that take you in the direction of your thoughts, or stop thinking it. So your body knows that you're thinking one thing and you're doing another. So if your goal should be to think and do the same thing. Harmony, oneness of mind, innovation, synergy. This ability to harmonize the subconscious brain and the conscious brain, to make sure that they're both on the same plane, that they're both in the same vibrational space. This ability, my brothers and sisters, to oscillate and to vibrate is the key. Because the key to life, my brothers and sisters, is to understand exactly what the scripture says. If you are untrustworthy with little things, how are you going to be trustworthy with big things? So these quote-unquote little things are not little things. They're actually big things. But we think they're little because they're done in private. But they are huge. So today and for the rest of your life, I want you to do this for me and for your own success. I want you to remove the word small and the word big. And I want you to start every day. I want you to take steps in the direction of your goal. There's no such thing as a big step or small step. They're just steps. I want you to do concrete things to go with real thoughts. So if I have a thought of writing a book, I need to take out a piece of paper and I need to write a page or at least a paragraph, maybe a sentence. Maybe I just come up with a freaking topic. How about that? That's a step. It doesn't matter if I write 30 pages or if I write one page or if I write one line or if I just take out the sheet of paper and the pen and don't write nothing. At least I took out a piece of paper and I took out a pen because I have a thought of writing a book. So tomorrow I got that pen and the paper. It's in the same spot. I leave it out on my desk. And so I come out, I look at that sheet of paper and that pen, and I come out and I write, I'm going to write a book about starting small while thinking big. Then I put my pen down and I walk away with my piece of paper. Why? I took a step. What did I do? I wrote down my topic. Tomorrow I come back and I got my topic. Starting small, I'm going to put my introduction. And then I'm going to write down chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. And then I'm going to put my pen down. And I'm going to say, you know what, I'm going to make this book 7 chapters. Now, I ain't got nothing in there. And then I come back the next day, and I look at it, and I say, okay, I need to write a prelude. I need to write an introduction. What 7 T's do I want to focus on when I'm writing my book about starting small and thinking big? And I want to do a sentence outline or maybe a topic outline or some form of an outline that gives me a plan or an overflow. So every day I take a step. It doesn't matter if it's a big one or a small one based upon somebody else's terms or definitions or your own term or your own definition. The key, brothers, the key, sisters, take the step. Start. 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 The journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. It doesn't matter if that's a big step or a small step. Your goal is behavioral management while in prison. This is a PRISM. It's a box. You are a prisoner. You are a light being trapped inside of a carbon box. While you are a light being trapped inside of this carbon box, you want to produce as much light to transcend this carbon. That's called purpose. And my job is to assist you with finding and fulfilling your God-given destiny and your purpose. If you do not have your Dear Kinnear report, please email me at masterteacher33.com@gmail.com. If you don't know what in the world a Dear Kinnear report is, go to my website, masterteacher33.com. Click on the link that says Dear Kinnear Report. Watch the short video. Read over some of my topics. Then email me at masterteacher33.com@gmail.com and let me know you're ready to get started. My brothers and my sisters, we've got a series that starts on December the 1st. Again, the series is entitled The Cerebral Spinal Fluid. We break down liquid light, liquid God. We talk about, again, the River of Jordan and how you must be baptized in the river of your cerebral spinal fluid in order for you to access or gain entry, if you will, into the kingdom. My brothers, my sisters, thank everybody for joining me on today's show. Again, this is Dr. Will Rogers. It was a pleasure and an honor to be able to speak with you today. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. We grew up, instead of part one, continue to lead you and guide you into all truth, because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now, but no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee, reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. That's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle MCs, firmly avert to bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming, thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn with something to pop. You still dreaming, pass a message if you run in the pot. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people, it's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the acting, yo. You going us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams they dream, some dreams come true. A 1, 2, 1, 2. Some dreams they dream, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.
Still dreaming, man. Still dreaming.